Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To put a contemporary spin on Jesus' words about giving for just a moment, I'd like to point out that it's only 140 days until Christmas. I wonder, for how many of us, that brings up a little tremor of anxiety. Our society's expectations have altered the holiday so that for many of us, the thought of all of the preparation, the parties, the gift giving, is overwhelming and stressful. We've become conditioned to believe it is better to give and give, the more the better, making sure we have gifts for everyone on our list is hard work. Here at the Church of the Redeemer, we've been gathering on Wednesday evenings for a program called Let's Talk About It. And last week, in talking about hospitality, we came to the conclusion that it, too, is hard work. It's hard work to be hospitable. As the story of Martha and Mary showed us, when we practice hospitality, we are essentially putting ourselves out there, extending an offer to others of our home, of food we've prepared, of our company, of a gift. And when we extend such an offer to another person, any offer, we run the risk that they might reject it. Perhaps this risk of rejection contributes to the pressure we can feel around gift-giving occasions. Think about what the advertisement of last-minute gift ideas really means. That we've run short on time or on imagination, and so we settle for something. Because on certain occasions, giving a gift, any gift, is an expectation. The gift becomes a given, and a given runs just a little bit short on grace. As we come to follow Jesus, we begin to understand that the way he operates is to turn what is familiar and expected upside down. Certainly, Martha was expected to be a good hostess to her guest, to offer a meal and a welcoming place for her friends. Yet Jesus said that Mary, who stayed out of the kitchen and sat listening at his feet, he said that Mary had chosen the better part. Now, I don't believe Jesus literally meant for us to choose Mary's part over Martha's. Instead, he seems to be saying the better part is the kingdom quality, things that are enduring, like purses that don't wear out, not last-minute gift ideas. Jesus continually asks us to consider a different way. It seems many of us have the giving part down pat. So can we imagine a different way in which we can be both cheerful givers and be more generous and gracious at receiving? The Christian ethicist Samuel Wells suggests such a different way. He places Christian ethical behavior within a framework of theatrical improvisation. For improvisation to be effective, each party must be willing to accept what the other offers. It is a simple case of saying yes, of going along with the twists and turns in a dialogue and allowing the story to unfold organically. When improvisers are inexperienced, those unknown twists and turns feel dangerous. They don't have control over it. And so, when they try to steer the story in a particular direction, the creative dynamic comes to a halt. The delight and energy in improvisation stalls. That's the end of the story. Yet with practice, improvisation, both giving and receiving equally well, becomes natural. Wells says all of our interactions, like the dynamic of an improvisation, can be distilled down to the choice of accepting or rejecting gifts from one another. In this context, a gift can be just about anything. Words, actions, a glance, a touch, any invitation to engage with another person. When we accept a gift, we say yes and allow the story to continue. When we reject a gift, we say no, and we prevent the story from going on. Gifts are not good or bad in and of themselves, according to Wells. The key is what you do with them, because it is not the giver's responsibility to ensure a gift is appropriate. Rather, it is the receiver's responsibility to find good use for the gift. Not to wonder what the gift is for, but what the gift might be. Little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the gift of the kingdom. This is the gift that is offered to us as Christians. What would it be like to be committed, never to reject it, but always to accept it? Now, we've been traveling along with Jesus in Luke's gospel for a couple of months now. And as the story has unfolded, Jesus keeps showing us how to receive in a new way that goes beyond what we expect. He has been preparing us all along to say yes to the gift of the kingdom and to receive it in ways that allow the story to continue, because God always wants the story to continue. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus showed that the gift of the kingdom is loving our neighbors and going out of our way to treat one another with compassion, especially those who are battered and bruised, no matter what clan or neighborhood or ethnic group they come from. And to the man who asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus offered this gift. "Go and do likewise. Go and love all of your neighbors." It was this man's choice to accept it or reject it. To go and do likewise would have been saying yes, thank you, to the gift of God's kingdom. In the parable of the rich man who built bigger barns to store his overflowing crops, Jesus showed that the gift of the kingdom is sharing abundantly and generously all that we have with those who live in scarcity, especially those who have neither food nor barns. To the rich man, Jesus offered this gift. "Do not worry about what you will eat or drink. Do not store these things up for yourself. When you accept the gift of the kingdom, the things you need will be given to you." Sadly, this rich man, like many others Jesus encountered, was not open to receiving the gift. We in this community are very generous when it comes to giving. And it's important for us to remember, giving is only half of the kingdom equation. In today's reading, Jesus shows us that the gift of the kingdom is being prepared, being ready to receive the gifts of love, compassion, and sharing. Not to be complacent, not relying on last-minute gift ideas that begin to resemble greed or self-absorption or prejudice. Be alert to receiving the gifts, and you will be blessed. The Master will come and serve you. Jesus shows us the kingdom is not so much a place as a way of being, not so much where random acts of kindness occur as where a process of formation occurs, where gifts of kindness are given freely and received naturally with joy and selflessness, without calculation or pride. Where differences of opinion are not met with derision or insults, but are received as an opportunity to genuinely understand another person's perspective. Where, "No, that's okay, thanks anyway," becomes, "Yes, that's wonderful, thank you very much." Where we make eye contact and say hello to a stranger on the street rather than crossing over. It's true that when we extend ourselves in such a way, we don't know where it will lead. But if we don't make the offer at all, the story ends. At the end of our Wednesday evening discussion last week on hospitality, one of the folks attending said, "This discussion has saved Christmas for me." That's right, 140 days out, and Christmas is already on some people's minds. You see, this person had always heard words of rejection and exclusion in the passage that proclaims, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." It felt especially deflating for this person to hear these words amid the joy of our wonderful Lessons and Carols service. And someone else pointed out that a different way of receiving those words, the way Jesus has been teaching us all along, is that in the kingdom, God looks with favor upon all people. God wishes peace and goodwill to all men and women, Jew and Greek, Christian and Muslim, black and white, gay and straight, all of us, continuing the story with God. Little flock, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is our gift to receive, not to wonder what it is for, but to wonder what it might be, and then to go out, to live out and live into the wonder. Amen.